My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Time to feed you some football. It's NFL Lunch here on Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland here for the Bobster. Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Let's start with some injury news. Let's go out to Minnesota. Rookie first-round pick J.J. McCarthy looks like he's about to undergo surgery this week for a meniscus tear. Looks like he needs a meniscus trim. Mike Garofalo from NFL Network is saying that they're expecting a 4 to 6 week recovery. So it looks like Sam Darnold is obviously without a doubt going to be the starter for the Vikings for the start of the season. But, Benny, how big of a blow is this for the Vikings to have their first-round quarterback go down so early?
Well, I think it's a big blow because you cut into his development. And he played extremely well and coming off a really good game. They were probably maybe even considering having him play, you know, in the opener. So now, yeah, that kind of sets him back. And he'll just have to stay in it mentally while he rehabs it. And he'll be back soon.
Let's go out to New York with the Giants. Tyrone Tracy Jr., their rookie running back, was carted off the field earlier today, suffering a potentially serious non-contact injury to his right leg. He had a pretty good game in the preseason opener against the Lions. He was drafted out where he started his college career at Iowa, finished at Purdue. But this could end up being a blow to that Giants offense as well, as they're trying to figure out who's going to lead their rushing attack this year with Saquon now in Philly.
Yeah, neighbors being down too. So yeah, their offense is struggling mightily. You know, I mean, the Giants are kind of in trouble right now. You know, they're Daniel Jones has got to kind of carry him now, and we'll see what happens with that.
Out in Philadelphia, staying in the NFC East, some good injury news. Looks like Cooper DeJean, the cornerback in Philadelphia, looks like he's returning to practice right now. He was sidelined pretty much all of camp to this point with a hamstring injury. Looks like he's making his debut on the field.
That's good because I love the guy. I think he's a hell of a player. I think he's going to help them. Really smart, can return punts and stuff too. So that'll be a huge addition for them.
Out in Buffalo, staying somewhat in New York, Chase Claypool, we all remember that name. He's going on IR for the Buffalo Bills, ending his season right now with a toe injury. Chase Claypool has kind of been downhill for him for the last few years. He was in Chicago, got traded to Chicago recently, and goes out to Buffalo. And look, that could have been a spot that he could have at least gotten on the field in, because the Bills are looking for answers at the wide receiver position. But looks like his season is over before it got started.
Yeah, Notre Dame kid. He started really good. I think he thought he was too good. Maybe made too many demands too early, mm-hmm. instead of just being a good teammate. So I think that kind of hurt him.
Let's go out to Cleveland, and this is just terrible news. Their second round D tackle, Mike Hall Jr., he's being charged with domestic violence out in Ohio after allegedly threatening a woman with a gun Monday night. Hall was arrested and booked on Tuesday. His bond was set at $10,000, and he has a hearing scheduled for September 10th. I'm seeing some of the details about this incident.
His fiancée, right?
I guess so. I mean, yeah. it's a woman involved. Looks like her mom is there. Their young daughter is there. It's a lot going on in that scene, and it's just head scratching. I don't know what some of these dudes are thinking. Obviously, they're not thinking in a lot of these circumstances, but it's inexcusable, and I don't know what's going to happen with him in his career after this.
Yeah, second round draft pick just this past year from Ohio State. I guess that is the advantage, Cordell. That's why you go away to training camp.
Mm-hmm.
So guys can't. I'm guessing he got to stay at home. It was 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're away at training camp, none of this, everybody's on lockdown. But that guy, he's got some serious issues.
Let's go back out to New York, check in on the Jets. Hassan Reddick, I think Nolan had brought him up in buy or sell earlier.
Right.
He is demanding another trade after being traded, after demanding a trade from his previous spot in Philadelphia. Looks like he's looking for a new contract. He hasn't gotten it. It doesn't even look like he and the Jets are doing much talking these days, because he's not in the building. The Jets put out kind of a post yesterday saying that they're not honoring his trade request. What's happening? I mean, this is part of the reason why I can't buy into the Jets right now. It just is too much going on. A lot of talent there on paper. Hassan Reddick is a heck of a talent in his own right. But how do you see this unfolding as it continues to go on?
I don't know. You know, I mean, if you're making a trade like that, Cordell, I mean, the first thing you do is, did he want money or not want? I'm guessing the reason he wanted out of Philly, because he wanted money. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're the Jets, you're extremely naive if he doesn't want money. So, that's a bad look for the Jets. I mean, right, and they got to hold firm now. And if he misses all of fall camp, $1.7 million in fines. Mm. $1.7 million.
For a guy that's looking for money?
Yes.
That's quite a bit. And we'll talk a little bit about Hassan Reddick in the next segment as well, because the Ravens, conveniently enough, need a pass rusher, and it looks like he may be on the block. So we'll play around with that idea for a little bit. Real quick, going back to J.J. McCarthy and his meniscus tear, Adam Schefter just tweeted this out, saying that a decision will be made at the time of his operation about whether his meniscus requires a trimming or a complete repair, which will determine the length of his recovery. They are two different timelines. So looks like they don't know yet what type of operation he's going to need. And obviously, one, like I said, if it's just a trim, it looks like a 4 to 6 recovery time period, 4 to 6 week recovery. But if it's a complete tip repair, then obviously he's probably gone for a while.
Yeah, I mean, that happened to me, Cordell, when I was in college. Mm-hmm. You know, they went in and say, oh, you're just going to have a little scope, you'll have a little sleeve on your knee, and you'll be out of there in no time. I woke up, Cordell, I had a cast from my toe to my hip, and I had an ACL and MCL, both cartilages. I had all that. And the doctor said, I guess it was a little worse than I thought.
You guess?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's a scary thing, I'm sure, going in for one thing and you wake up and it's something totally different going on. And for McCarthy, honestly, I thought he'd be a candidate to really be able to help the Vikings, by depending on who you talk to, maybe overachieve this year, because a lot of people don't expect the Vikings to do too much this year. I think the talent is there. When you've got an elite receiver like Justin Jefferson, if you get some competent quarterback play, anything can happen. Aaron Jones went to Minnesota as well.
And they got Edison.
Yeah. So
they got tight end.
Yeah, they have a really good tight end. So I don't know what people are missing with the Vikings. I guess probably on the defensive side of the ball, that's always been their Achilles heel. Yeah. But there's talent in the NFC North, but there's nobody that I'm like, oh yeah, I know the Packers are going to be back in the divisional round. I can't sit here and say that. The Bears, a lot of good talent around Caleb Williams, but we don't know what that's going to look like in Detroit. As people putting Detroit in the Super Bowl, I mean, I'm not there yet with the Lions.
They should have been in.
They should have been.
Year.
And I'm still pinching myself to figure out, are the Lions that good just yet? I have a tough. I'm kind of in the mode of show me again, Detroit. I want to see it
talent.
Again.
They have talent.
They definitely have talent. The defense is good. I think they're well coached. They clearly buy in.
They got skill people.
But it's still the Lions in my mind. It's some teams. I don't know. I just think that they're cursed forever. And Detroit is that team for me. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we tease it a little bit. Hassan Reddick. He's looking for another trade, wants to get out of New York. The Ravens right now, they aren't saying it, but they need some pass rush help. Could Hassan Reddick be an option for them? We'll talk about.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Got it next year on The Fan. Right here on The Fan. Coming up at 1:30, we'll start to preview game one of this Orioles National Series. Baltimore baseball tonight. With Tim Barbalace and Ryan Ripken live from Pickles right here on The Fan at 5:30. First pitch at 6:35 this evening. And Right now, we're talking Ravens. Ravens pass rush, I think it could use some help. Could use some help. We've been talking to Dafe Owe up a lot, but that's still something that we want to see in game. We know Van Noy and his 9 sacks are still here. Matabike, who had a monster year last year as an interior pass rusher, he's still here, but could definitely use more help on the edge. And conveniently enough, one of the premier edge rushers in the league, Hassan Reddick, is yet again demanding a trade from the team he was just traded to, the New York Jets. Vinny, is this something that you feel like the Ravens may entertain?
Jimmy Sexton's the agent, you know, CAA. He's making $14 million this year. Can they afford it? Because he wants to be paid $20-some million. So if it's kind of like the Roquan Smith, if you trade for him, you better be ready to pay him. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you'd be sitting in the same position as the Jets. Might be a little rich for the Ravens. That, you know, they don't have a ton of cap room. So, I mean, if they could, would he help them? Absolutely. Would it be a good get if they could afford him? Sure, no doubt. Matt Judon, too.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants more money. So, I mean, these guys are upset because they want more money, and the thing that the Ravens don't have is a lot more money, unless I guess they could redo contracts and stuff and try to squeeze the guy in. But if they could get either one of those guys, it would be a huge upgrade.
Yeah, definitely a huge upgrade. The Ravens right now, salary cap wise, they have about a little over $5 million right now in cap. Not a lot of money, but
no.
I do think that they have restructures that they haven't gone to yet.
Right.
And they haven't really had to go to. And obviously, they want to wait until they absolutely need it before they do that. So maybe that's an avenue. I think if we're talking strictly football, it's a no-brainer. On the field, Hassan Reddick is a monster. He give this defense an element that they just, I mean, as good as Jadeveon Clowney was for them last year, Reddick has been this way for some years now. He's a legit pass rusher. I just don't know if it will be a good fit for him in the locker room. When guys are willing to do this type of stuff, then I start to question, all right, what type of characters do they have? Everybody wants their money. I'm fine with guys getting paid. I'm on the record for that. But I think there's a way to go about it. And he was causing stirs in Philly. Now he's causing stirs in New York. The Ravens don't want that problem. I also don't know if they are willing to meet the type of number he's looking for. You got to pay to play. This dude's production warrants probably the number he's looking for. I just don't know if that's the world that they're living in right now.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to pay. Just because, all right, if they pay Reddick, then what if Owe has a breakout year, 12 sack? I don't think that they would do that. Because, I mean, look at what, when they went and got Roquan, look what happened with Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Can't afford to pay both. So then Owe would be gone. I just don't. Just because the way Owe's been looking in camp, I don't think that they would. Plus, Cordell, the Jets gave him a conditional 3
mm-hmm.
to the Eagles. So you'd have to give them, you know, a decent draft pick back, too. Otherwise, you know, I mean, shame on them. Then they'll really look bad.
And you used the Roquan Smith analogy earlier. I mean, where they give a second in the Roquan deal, and EDC was fine with that.
Going
into the draft the next year.
Yeah,
he's like, our second round pick was Roquan Smith. I feel good about that, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
If you have to give up a third for Hassan Reddick, I would feel good about it because you're expecting to get that on the field. It's all about the numbers in my mind as the biggest reason why I don't think it's going to work. I think he wants to change the market a little bit. He wants to be one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid pass rusher in the league. And that, again, that's just not where the Ravens are as an organization right now. They're paying Lamar Jackson. They just gave Matabike a new deal. the reality is they got to start saving up for Kyle Hamilton, who's going to be knocking at the door here pretty soon.
Stevens.
You know, so, I mean, and what are they going to do with the Mark Andrews and likely scenario that's also around the corner as well? Like, these are the things that are in front of him longevity-wise. Nolan, how do you feel about the idea of Hassan Reddick in Baltimore?
I just think it's buyer beware. Ravens or anybody out there. I mean, after all this stuff that's gone public, the messiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I even remember thinking it at the time when things were going south with the Eagles and, you know, that he was making it publicly clear that he's seeking the money and the Jets signed or agreed to that trade. I said, well, when's the deal coming?
Right.
Because usually those go hand in hand, like you said, and it never came about. And I'm thinking, all right, well, maybe the Jets convinced him otherwise. Maybe some of the veterans in the locker room said, hey, we got a good chance to do great things this year. You come in, do what you do. We'll have a great season, and then the money will follow, but obviously that's not the case. I really don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the Jets hold all the leverage, but once the regular season rolls around, I mean,
how long
they want
they
the guy out there.
Exactly.
So, and he can't afford at this. No player can afford to miss a year voluntarily, we'll say that. Guys miss a year with injury. Sometimes they never come back. So, especially at his age, I just don't know if he can afford to sit out that much longer.
Kind of reminds me of Pittsburgh running back.
Bell.
Oh,
exactly.
Le'Veon Bell, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is it's really the only cases of a guy holding out.
Really, truly
and missing,
sticking with it.
Right, for an Ingram.
And it had never been the same since.
Nope.
Wasn't it Ingram with the Chargers?
Yeah, Melvin Ingram, yeah.
So, I mean, at least he got another shot. Mm-hmm. I guess Bell technically did too, both in Baltimore, but
right,
it was never the same.
Yeah, it's definitely a tricky situation. And I mean, right now, players are willing to do that. They're willing to sit out and stuff, but you get to the regular season, how long are you willing to really ride it out? We saw Jones last year in Kansas City take it into the regular season, and he was able to kind of, when he did get back, got right back to the regular schedule program and dominating on the inside, still gets paid at the end of the year, wins the Super Bowl. So it's been cases to where it has worked out. If I'm guessing, I don't think he goes anywhere. I mean, the Jets are already saying they're not trading. They don't have to trade him if they don't want to. They seem content to just keep fining him.
Yeah.
And right now, he's okay with taking the fines.
No, Cordell, March 29th, when the trade was done, they traded two New York Jets from Philly for a 2026 third-round pick.
Okay.
Conveys to a second-round pick with 67.5% of the snaps, plus 10 sacks in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So if he played a lot and had 10
well,
plus sacks, then it goes to a second round pick in 2026.
Yeah.
So a third round pick in 2026 when they did it, that's like a fifth round pick in that year.
Yeah. So even more reason why the Jets are probably content to.
So Philly was just giving them away.
Pretty much, because they knew what was going on. And really, you look at the Jets and the defense that they've had over the years. I'm not going to say they don't need Hassan Reddick. They kind of have an embarrassment of riches right now on that side of the ball. They may get to the season, and if he's not back and their defense is still looking as dominant as it has the last couple of seasons, I don't know if they're batting it. They're definitely not going to be in a rush to make any type of deal. Of course, you want as much talent on the field as you could possibly have, but I don't think this is going to go the way that Reddick wants it to right now.
No, when you get into that pissing match, man, then it becomes I got to win that deal, and if that's the case, the Jets, you know, I mean, if the Jets, like you said, if they're playing good, They'll just sit him.
Yeah.
They'll just keep him on the bench. You know, because they did. Jermaine Johnson was their first round pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mean, and they've got they don't have Hassan Reddick. They have Michael Clemens, and so they could definitely use Reddick, but we'll see.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll start to preview this Orioles-Nationals game tonight. Remember Baltimore Baseball Tonight with Tim Barbalace and Ryan Ripken live from Pickles Pub. That gets underway at 5:30 right here on The Fan. We'll look ahead to this matchup, game one between the Orioles and the Nats tonight, next here on The Fan. BBT with Tim Barbalace and Ryan Ripken will follow that at Pickles as well. Orioles getting ready to take on the Nationals in a two-game set starting tonight at 6:35. On the mound, we've got Jake Irvin for the Washington Nationals. He's pretty much their ace this year, if there is such a thing for them. 8-10 on the year, 3.76 ERA, 1.12 whip. Trevor Rogers on the mound for the Orioles, 2-10 on the year for Rogers, 4.7 ERA, 1.56 whip. Rogers had a nice bounce back out in the last time he took the mound for the Orioles, much better than his debut, which, you know, you can only kind of go up from there. And he did, to his credit. But it's time for the Orioles to kind of get in a rhythm here. They have the half-game lead over the Yankees on their day off yesterday, with the Yankees getting blown out by the White Sox. It's imperative that the Orioles take care of this, albeit pesky, Nationals team over the next 2 days.
Well, I think, you know, where the Orioles and where the Yankees sit, Cordell, if either team can go win 10 out of 12, you know, go on a run, they'll take control of the division. And I don't know if anybody can. And you know what? With the Orioles, with what their schedule is at home, you need to beat Washington twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to go, you've been taking care of the Red Sox, beat the Red Sox 3 out of 4, and then you're off and running. Cordell, I mean, that's what they need to do to gain some separation from the Yankees, because you don't know what you're getting from the Yankees. But, I mean, you could say the same about the Orioles. That's the thing.
You could definitely say the same thing. And, look, both of these teams have been afforded the opportunity to play against lesser-caliber teams.
And have lost.
And have struggled against all of them. That's kind of the issue. That's kind of the telltale sign that something's off of both of these teams.
To me, it started with the O's with the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got the Cubs, you know, they lost 3 in a row.
Yeah, that's not good. Neither of these teams are able to kind of take advantage of the inferior teams that they're playing right now. But that's going to have to change. I'm curious to see what the lineup looks like. I'm sure that'll come out a little later on. But I want to see some of that home cooking for this Orioles team that's been on the road here since the start of the month. This is their first home game of August that they're about to play, and it's August 13th right now. So they've been on the road for a while now. I'm sure the boys are happy to be home. Hopefully they play like it, being back at Camden Yards, and I'm sure the fans will be happy to see them as well. As when we had Bobby on earlier from Madison, and he talked about, you know, this it's not even a rivalry. I'm hesitant to call it a rivalry, but proximity-wise, it's there. You know, both of these teams are right next to each other, about a 45-hour drive back and forth from each ballpark. But I expect it to probably, you know, fans will be out, I would imagine, for these next 2 nights to see these teams.
Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday night. I think the diehard Nats fans will be out, and the Nats fans that probably live closer, you know, to us here, will be out just because they're not, you know, in contention, really. I don't know if, you know, if that'll attract just a normal fan from the Nats. But the Orioles fans, I think there'll be a lot of O's fans. Especially this weekend will be crazy again.
Yankee weekend. Boston coming to town and everything. And the team will be right back on the road in New York starting on Monday to take on the Mets. So, yeah, they're not here for a very long time. I would like to see this somewhat rivalry between the Orioles and the Nationals get built up. I think that's what Major League Baseball is trying to do. I think next year they have, like, don't they have the rivalry week next year or something like that? And I think the Orioles and Nationals are a part of that.
So they've kept them kind of playing every year, which I guess they have made an effort to keep it somewhat of a rivalry, because a National League team versus an AL team, that's not a guarantee every year. I mean, now it is with the new everybody plays everybody. But as of just 2 years ago, that wasn't the case. But the O's and Nats would play pretty much every year. All-time record favors the Orioles substantially.
Yeah.
I don't think they've ever... they probably lost a season series to the Nats, but it's been well over a decade since that's happened. I just miss the days when they would play those four games in a row. It was always 2-2,
but
they put them right next to each other. So you get two at Camden Yards, and then so like Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday at Nats Park. That made it kind of like the Subway Series a little bit. I wish you would kind of embrace the proximity a little bit, keep those series against each other.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against that at all. Go ahead and knock all four of those games out in the same weekend. Like you said, a home and home situation. I'm all for that. Like I said, it seems like Major League Baseball is trying to emphasize some of these rivalries. We get the same type of rivalry matchups on Sunday Night Baseball, it feels like. We get the Yankees and the Red Sox a lot. We get the Yankees and the Mets. But all in all, there are, I feel like, some new age rivalries with some of these teams that MLB needs to tap into instead of the same old ones that honestly have died down over time.
See, I think a better rivalry than the Nats would be the Phillies.
With the Orioles?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's, what, hour and 15? It's not far.
It's not far.
And those fans are really passionate, crazy people.
But so, that series, the Phillies fans were out when they came to Baltimore.
I can kind of see, you know, Philly-Baltimore being a real good matchup.
And that will be an every year thing now. So next year, the Orioles will go up there and play them in Philly. And then 2 years from now, they'll be back. I mean, the Phillies fans were out in full force just because it had been so many years since the Phillies actually came here. And I think COVID played a part in that as well. So it had been an extended gap since they were here. And you remember that series, it had a playoff feel to it.
Yeah.
And it was so early in the season, too. I mean, it's very rare that you get a non-division matchup that early in the season that has that much juice to it.
Yeah, not very often, and I think it's because really at that time both of these teams were like at their peak. You know, we had the battle of the two best teams in baseball at that time, and it didn't turn out to be much of a competitive series at the time. But I do think that's something. Look, we thought it could be a potential World Series matchup.
No doubt.
Could still very well be the case the way that both teams are going right now, despite their struggles. And like I said, I want to see what the lineup looks like when it comes out. I want to see who's in, who's out, who's batting, where I like this Colton Cowser stretch that we've gotten with him batting in the leadoff spot. He's given kind of that same jump start that Gunner was given at the start of the year when he was in the leadoff spot. Cowser has started to give us some of that electricity as well at the start of the game.
Yeah, and then Gunner's been batting pretty good in what, the three hole. So yeah, it's worked out. It's definitely worked out. You know, Rutschman's the one that's kind of got to pick up the pace a little bit more.
You like how do you feel about Cowser in the leadoff spot?
I think it's changed the lineup. I mean, obviously for the better, but it was a necessary change.
Yeah.
Gunner in leadoff isn't a problem. You know, you're giving your best hitter, or one of your best hitters, the most at-bats in any given game. I'm not against that, but once his power kind of dissipated a little bit, I don't know. It wasn't as necessary for me to guarantee him, you know, five at-bats a night. And Cowser was serving more of a traditional leadoff role. It changed the complexion of the lineup, as did Jackson Holliday. I like having him at the bottom of the order, being that competent to be able to turn it back over to a guy like Cowser. Now when he comes up to the plate, maybe there's somebody actually on base.
Yeah, I didn't really look at Cowser as like a leadoff type of guy until he got in it and started to really excel. And honestly, I never really looked at Gunner as a leadoff type of guy until he got into the role and started to excel in it. And maybe Hyde's listening to the people that says he needs to change his lineups, because that was the first time I saw Cowser in the leadoff spot. I'm like, okay, he's really shaking things up. He's really trying something different here. And he's kind of caught fire a little bit. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll take one last trip through the fun house before Inside Access takes over at 2. That's next here on The Fan. Looks like the Ravens signed their running back, John Kelly, adding him to their roster. Looks like he was formerly with the Cleveland Browns at one point. It doesn't look like he's taking a carry since 2021. So Rasheen Ali hasn't practiced yet this week. Unsure if he's out there yet today. I'm heading out there once I leave here.
He's out there. He's practicing. Okay, jersey number 33.
No, I mean Ali.
Ali, yeah.
Ali hasn't been practicing to this point this week, so maybe they just want to bring in another bat back to eat up some carries in the preseason. We'll see. Also, Kyle Hamilton is back on the practice field today. That's good news. We'll see how much he's able to do in today's practice. And this kind of concerns the Ravens. We've been talking a lot about the Brandon Ayuk potential trade over the last couple of weeks. And Ian Rappaport is reporting that the Steelers and the Niners have a deal on a potential trade, and Pittsburgh is in a good place on an Ayuk contract. Sources say if San Francisco gives the final sign-off, the deal is done. San Francisco still has an offer out to Ayuk on a long-term deal, but Ayuk has not accepted that. And if he hasn't accepted it by now, he doesn't want it. So it does look like Pittsburgh, and that's been the team, the kind of the last team standing here over the last few days, looks like they're in a good spot to land a premier wide receiver. So we'll see if that ends up happening for sure. Nolan, let's take a trip through the funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First text here comes from Chris, who says, I used to be in the camp that thought Lamar Jackson should play a series or two in preseason games. However, I've completely flipped. Now I don't want to see him anywhere near the field in the preseason. He's proven he can get his work in during practice and be ready for the games when they count.
Yeah, plus the big thing I keep going back to is the O-line. I don't have my Pro Bowl center. I don't, you know, and then everything else kind of iffy. No, he ain't playing.
And if he was going to play, I guess the benefit would be that chemistry, right? You'd want him to gain chemistry with his fellow starters, but that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So if Lamar's playing, I would say the rest of the starters have to play.
Definitely. Oh, no doubt.
So that's a complete no then at that point.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't send, and even if they are, they're not out there long. And the thing with Lamar, exclusively Lamar, is you just don't know what's going to happen. Like, there are people, I remember when Lamar was going through his leg injury at the end of the year, and people are like, well, just put him out there and don't let him run. Just have him throw the ball. Like, this is the NFL. You can't decide what's going to happen. You don't know when the free rush is going to come. He may have to get out of there, and if he needs to and he can't, then what? So in this case, the last thing you need is Lamar feeling like he's got to get out of the pocket, go make a play with his legs, and uh-oh.
See, like where Mahomes, you know, Norm, he started like a couple years ago. He was bad early on, and he said, I need to play. So, I mean, if that's the case, then if he's playing, everybody's playing. I mean, Marquise gets hurt on the first play of the game. So, Patrick says, I got to have that. I'm guessing Lamar, you know, is not saying that I really need to play in the preseason games.
As far as Orioles rivalries, Howard in Baltimore checking in says that the Rangers should be considered the O's rival at this point, a team that embarrassed you on your in the playoffs last year when you were the best team in the American League. Forget the Yankees, Nationals with proximity, anyone in the AL East, it's the Rangers.
I got to disagree with that one. The Rangers aren't even in postseason territory right now. I mean, what's happened in the past is the past. I'm not one of those people, though, that feels like, oh, whatever the matchup was in the postseason the year before, all of a sudden, that's a rivalry matchup. I've never really bought into that. There's no way I can find a reason as to why the Rangers are a bigger rival than the Yankees or even the Red Sox, any team in the division, let alone the Nationals now.
They just lost to them in one playoff series. Yeah. There's no history. You got to have history.
Right.
And things would have to get chippy or, you know, guys getting plunked.
Now, I will say this because there are some things. The Rangers have had their number. I mean, the Rangers are the reason Grayson got sent down that first time because they absolutely clobbered him that day. They hit the grand slam. Grayson got taken out of that game very early, and the next day he was sent back down. So they have had the Orioles' number in spurts, but it's not to the point to where I feel like it's a rivalry brewing.
More on that topic. This texter says, I think Major League Baseball has messed up the scheduling, at least for a team like the O's. They should be playing teams in close proximity to them, Phillies, Pirates, and Nats, four to six times a year. It would be great for baseball in the area.
I agree.
Yeah. I think rivalries could be, because if you could make the argument that baseball rivalries compared to all the other major sports is probably the ones people care about the less, honestly. I mean, basketball, there are true rivalries there with certain teams. And even that, their rivalries are dying down these days. NFL rivalries are still alive and well. But baseball, like I said, I think it's because nationally they put so much stock into the same rivalries over and over. They don't give any attention to any of the other ones.
Plus, the places that you mentioned, Norm, fans can drive to all those places, which makes it a lot easier to get to. I mean, Pittsburgh would be a good one. I mean, just like it is with football. And Pittsburgh's, you know, they're kind of
got
coming
some young
on
talent
now.
Yeah. For sure.
And last one here, this texter says, the Jets should just pawn Reddick off on someone else, try to recoup close to what they gave up in the first place. Not worth the drama when you already have a walking circus in Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think anybody's just giving away talent, though. And I hear people on attitudes and, you know, dysfunction and stuff and how that compares to the on-the-field talent. Production on the field is going to trump all, you know, and if I'm not saying go in there and be an a-hole or anything like that, but when you're a good enough player, teams are willing to deal with it to a degree. We'll see what happens with Reddick because he has no history with the Jets. But yeah, I'm never on the board of just kind of giving away talent because they're a little bit of a headache.
Yeah, the Jets have come out and said nothing. You know, I mean, Reddick's people, Jimmy Sexton and them, they're the ones that are telling Adam Schefter and all this stuff, and they're the ones blowing it up. The Jets are just going to sit there, and we're just going to keep finding you. Screw you.
Eventually, he'll get out there.
Because if they cave in for him, then, you know, it's kind of like, I don't even want to use the analogy, but they're not going to, because if they do it for one, they got to do it for all. Chuck.
Coming up next here on Haney. We're done. We're out of here. Right. But next here on The Fan, Inside Access, they're live from Pickles Pub going up until 5:30, where BBT will take over from there until tomorrow. Class dismissed.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!